You are listening to the K1's Charitable Hearts Podcast with your hosts, Taylor
and Colin. Join us in our journey to spread kindness, knowledge, personal education, business practices, and charitable advances with others.
We hope this information inspires you and motivates you to give and to help others, and most importantly, put kindness first. A little pre-episode information. We record this episode with Second Harvest Food Bank and Miss Donna Vick on the first week of November. Since then, life has thrown us some curveballs. We have been working overtime with our full-time job. We have had some family issues arise that have needed our utmost attention. We hope that the information conveyed to you in this episode is just as impactful as it was when we recorded. I, myself, learned a lot from listening with Ms. Donovic. We hope that this inspires you to reach out to the Second Harvest Food Bank to give and to learn more about them. So here it is.
On today's podcast, we have Donovic with Second Harvest Food Bank, which is an affiliate of Feeding America, and we just got done touring the facility, and it's so much more than what we expected.
Yeah, and I wasn't, like, it blew my mind, because what I was thinking of a food bank, it was nothing compared to it. It's almost like a grocery store warehouse.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that the organization that they have, and the different pallets and food categories and stuff that they have. I was blown away. I'm excited to hear their story that she's got.
Great. Well, first off, that's very kind of you to say. I love it when people come here for the first time and see our facility, because when you say we're a food bank, people don't understand what that really means. But I am Donna Vick. We are in Benton County at the Ray Smith Family Distribution Center, and glad that y'all could come here today and record all of this. So my story. Earlier during the tour, we talked about having a purpose, and I've always felt like mission has been a part of my purpose in life, but you make paths to and choices in life that lead you elsewhere. Mm-hmm. For example, always thought I'd be in the mission field, but I fell in love with my high school sweetheart and decided to get married, and we put ourselves through college and went to Houston, Texas. I lived there for 6 years, finished college there, worked for a wonderful nonprofit, Greater Houston Area YMCA. Loved it. Worked there the whole time I was there. We were on the fast track. I was at work. It was a nonprofit. We were helping others. But we had our first child, and we were pregnant with our second child, and we decided to make that choice to move home. That wasn't where we wanted to raise our family. So we moved back to rural West Tennessee in Camden, and basically bought half the farm. And that's where we have lived for 22 years. And that also made a choice of, I had to put some mission stuff on hold and be a stay-at-home mother for the first few years. And it's funny when you look back how doors constantly are opening. Yes. To where you are now.
Yep.
We stayed at home. We lived on a farm. I didn't know anything about farming. But I asked some folks, had some help, learned to farm a little bit, had a farmer's market called the Frilly Farmers for 4 years.
Wow.
And made sourdough bread, jams and jellies, sold corn, tomatoes, okra, and my children helped with all that. From that came an opportunity to work at 4-H with the UT Extension Office here in Benton County. Did that for another 4 years. Worked in the school system, fourth grade through eighth grade, and still part-time, so I could still be with my children some because they were entering school. From there came an opportunity to work full-time, and went into juvenile court for 2 years. And again, I thought that was mission work, really, but that was hard. That was not for me. It was hard because I feel like I'm a religious person. I'm a spirited person, a positive person, and I was in the dark side.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it really tore at me. And so I left and worked in the business field as a limited service employee for a company nearby, a great company. My husband has worked at that place for over 30 years. And I could have just stayed there. But what that allowed me to do was have a job, just a little compartmentalized job, and it gave me time to work in the mission field at church. That all coincided together. My pastor came up, Camden First United Methodist Church. Our pastor at that time was Dean Emerson, and he said, "I'm looking for a mission chair. Would you do it?" And I said, "Oh, that is what I want to do. I'm so happy. Yes, I'll do it. What do we got to do?" And so starting in January of 2010, I was the mission chair, and the first task was call Second Harvest Food Bank in Nashville. We want to feed hungry people. What do we got to do? And I did. That first week, called Nashville and told them we were interested in a mobile pantry. What do we have to do? And so I met with the agency relations manager then, named Destiny. And she came out from Nashville. We met, and we hosted our very first mobile pantry that I hosted. Our church had hosted over the years a couple, but that I hosted in February with the church, with the Benton County Minister Alliance, and the whole local community coming out and feeding people. So what's a mobile pantry? That's where a semi comes with enough food to feed 250 households in a matter of a few hours.
Wow.
They get a shopping cart worth of food. It's shelf-stable stuff like cereal, tuna, macaroni and cheese, and perishable stuff, bagged lettuce, apples, potatoes. And so we hosted that here in Benton County. And that was in 2010. And Second Harvest called, and they had funding, and we did another one in May, and then we did another one in August. And during that time, we were doing other mission things at church, helping the local community. And out of the blue, things happen. I was feeling a little restless at this job that I did like, but I knew it wasn't really for me, but I did like it. And a friend of mine that also loved to feed hungry people had moved to Arkansas. And she was online, and she called me on a Sunday night and said, "Second Harvest Food Bank has a job opening, and they're looking to hire someone west of the river. Why don't you apply?" And she said, "If you don't, and if I lived there, I would, but you need to apply." And I truly was thinking, are you kidding me? There's no way. I am west of the river. You know, I'm 2 hours from Nashville. So on a whim, on a Sunday night, I filled out the application online, and they called on Tuesday.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
That early.
That early blew my mind. My family was going through a medical crisis that week, so I couldn't respond back till Thursday. The following week, I had an all-day interview in Nashville, like 3 or 4 interviews with 4 different people, and some of them were group interviews. That was the toughest interview I've ever had. You spend all day there with different interviews. And they hired me.
Wow.
And that has been 9 years ago this month. When I turned 40, that's when I found my purpose. And that's why I believe this is the mission field. This is what we're not going overseas, because I have a family and I can't take them overseas. And I have a good old boy that I'm married to, and we're committed to the farm. But the mission is here. And so the mission field is right here.
That's where it seems there's a misconception sometimes in mission work too, that people think that it's always going overseas or going out of the country, when, I mean, right here in your hometown, there's people in need.
Yes.
And that's...
Yes.
It's also a blessing just to even be able to find your purpose in life. That's another...
Yes, you're correct. It has been... because I've struggled a long time, but I have it, and I still struggle, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of life.
Yes, it is.
So let's talk a little bit about what exactly the Second Harvest Food Bank is. You said that was out of Nashville, and you said it's an affiliate of Feeding America, which is more of a national, nationwide organization to feed America. Yes. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay, Feeding America is the largest domestic hunger relief charity in America. Through their network of food banks, they cover every county, every state, every zip code. And so through that network, in the state of Tennessee, there are five food banks, Feeding America food banks. Mid-South in Memphis, Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee, located in Nashville, Second Harvest Food Bank of Northeast Tennessee, Second Harvest Food Bank of East Tennessee, and the Chattanooga Area Food Bank. Those five food banks cover our state and have territories or counties within that state. And our mission is to feed hungry people and work to solve hunger issues in our local communities. And we work with over 460 partner agencies in the 46 counties that Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee covers. And let me just say this. I say middle, but I also tell folks west of the river, don't let the word middle scare you, because mm-hmm. we cover part of West Tennessee also. And then Mid-South covers the other part of West Tennessee.
Oh, wow. Do you want to describe the difference between what a food bank is and then what a food pantry is?
Yes.
Because that may have been my misconception with coming here and seeing, you know, being we are from Jackson.
Yes.
And we are familiar with RIFA. And
yes.
And that is more of a food.
Great organization. Yes.
And, you know, more of a, like local community and stuff. So if you could.
Sure. So we gather food in various ways with a food bank. We work with grocery stores, farmers, wholesalers, and we gather food. We rescue food that's close to date, but still good, viable food, precious food. A lot of it's perishable food, which is the most nutritious.
Right.
We also purchase food directly from manufacturers and distributors, and we also have a social enterprise to manufacture food and send that food out to other food banks in our Feeding America network. So we take all of that food and we gather it, and then we distribute it out in our 46 counties through our trucks to partner agencies who are, they have to be a 501c3 or a faith-based organization with a feeding component. So they are a soup kitchen. They are a food pantry. They are drug and alcohol rehab facilities. Mm. They are after-school care programs, daycares, their backpack programs, a multitude of programs that we send food out to, and then they send it out to their clients.
So how would those people, like say if somebody is in need or wanting to reach out to one of those organizations you're speaking of, how would they go about looking that up and trying to find who near them would host the food pantry that y'all supply, so to say?
Sure. Nowadays, most folks have a smartphone or access to a computer. We've just uploaded and launched our new website, so it's very user-friendly. They could do various things. They could get on Second Harvest MID, which is middle, tn.org. That's our website. And there's a button there that says Get Help. Under that Get Help, put in your county. When you put your county in, it will list all of the food agencies that we work with, the partner agencies, and it will also list their address, their phone, their days and times they're open. So that's a great way. You can also call our food bank. If you don't have a smartphone or get a computer access, but we do have listings of all of those places in these counties. And if you live outside of our 46 counties, let's say you're living in Indiana, get on feedingamerica.org. Same thing. Find a food bank, get help, put your state in, put your zip code in, and it will list the local food bank, and from there you can go and find out what partner agencies are near you, because we don't want you using your resources unwisely. We We don't want you to have to drive 20 miles down the road when there's a food pantry 3 miles from you.
Right.
Yep. Makes sense.
You described how Second Harvest, as a food bank, you distribute to local agencies, but you said you also are send out care packages.
We have feeding programs. Besides our partner agencies, we have feeding programs such as backpack programs, which is food for children on the weekends, for them to have food until they come back to school on Monday. We also have senior nutrition programs, a box. We have a lot of those in Middle Tennessee. I don't have any in our western area. I'd love to have that started. We have mobile pantries that we've talked about. That's how I came to Second Harvest Food Bank. This year, something really special is we've started school food pantries. We've had several in Nashville and Davidson County, Rutherford County, Williamson County area of great success. Starting this school year, we have introduced one in Benton County, Decatur County, and Chester County. And that is where families in need can get food. And instead of just the backpack, which is single serve juice and milk and cereal, it would be spaghetti sauce, spaghetti noodles, more things to make a complete meal.
You were saying that you want more of those locations.
Yes.
How could somebody go about reaching out to y'all to set up, or if they wanted to start a food bank or one of those backpack things or just whatever situation? I mean, where do you need help from?
Yes.
Like what counties? And then how could they start?
So this facility that we're sitting in, it services Benton, Carroll, Chester, Decatur, Gibson, Hardin, Henderson, Henry, Houston, Humphreys, Perry, Stewart, Wayne, and Weakley counties, 14 counties. And if you're interested in starting a food pantry, or you already have a food pantry, mm-hmm. or maybe you have a soup kitchen, call us. Vivian Bowen is our agency relations manager. Email us because we'd love to send you a packet. I'd love to have you go through an orientation, talk to you about how you can use your resources wisely with us to feed more people.
Well, at the very beginning of the tour, you were talking about volunteers coming in. You have a group that comes in is every Thursday morning, you said, pretty much. How, if somebody just wanted to come volunteer in that sense, what's the best way if they wanted to bring a group? Like, when do y'all have times that you really need help and you don't have so much? And also, how would somebody just go about starting that if they wanted to bring, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 people up here?
Volunteers are the base. As you all took the tour, you met most of our employees except for the two drivers. So we have 8 employees at this site. We're one of 3 from the Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee. And last year alone, we had over 90,000 volunteer hours. So we are volunteer-based. Wow. At this facility, we have 4 shifts a week. Monday afternoon, 3:30 to 6. Tuesday night, 5:30 to 8. Thursday morning, 9 to 11:30. And then alternating Friday and Saturday, 9 to 11:30. And what you can do is you can, again, get online at our main website, and it's get involved. Click on that. It'll tell you how to volunteer. It'll give you options. You'll have to create an account, give you options. You pick. Maybe you want to go to Smyrna. Maybe whoever's listening wants to go to Smyrna. They'll pick the Rutherford County Smyrna area, and it'll tell you the shifts available, and you sign up. And it has on there, if you have a group of 5 or more, it'll tell you, you know, you're going to link to this, and then that person will reach back out to you. If you do it here, Jennifer Barker is our volunteer engagement person. She will set that up. She'll call you, ask what you know, how many you're going to have, set a special sign up for you. And I do know that in rural Tennessee, We have still some barriers with internet access and computers. You can always call us. We can hook you up.
What are some of the opportunities that you have here for volunteering? You showed us some of the stations that you have.
Yes.
And you have, it's not just one thing that you can do.
No, yes. So when you come to volunteer, you're probably not going to know what you're going to do until that day. So when you come in, we'll greet you at the door. You'll get a name tag. You'll go into our volunteer engagement center. We've got personal lockers for you to put your personal items in. You'll go through some video training. You will grab a Carhartt jacket and go to the volunteer cold sort room is one option. And that's where you will sort frozen items that we have picked up from grocery stores. It'll be frozen meat. You'll be trained to check it, check the packaging. You will put it into categories. And it's very interesting because frozen meat does look different sometimes when you're, even for me, it's like, is this beef or is this pork? Because, it, yeah, you know, when it's frozen, yep, it looks a little
changes
different.
Changes color a little bit.
It does. Yep. It does. So you'll put that into categories, box it up. So that's one thing. The second thing is in our dry sort space. You won't wear your jackets, but you will go in there, and there's three things you might do that shift because it changes depending on our need. One thing is you might sort the dry food that comes in from either food drives, donations, or things that we've picked up from grocery store, which means canned, boxed items. You'll do the same thing. You're going to sort through it and put it into categories. So that's one thing. The second thing is we have bulk items that come in, bulk sweet potatoes, bulk potatoes, apples. So those things, if they come in at, when I say bulk, it might be a 4x4 big tote that weighs 1,800 to 2,000 pounds, and it's loose. And a lot of agencies can't take that. You know, we could load it onto their truck, but they're going to have a hard time unloading it.
Right.
So we'll have volunteers that will come in and they will bag it. They'll go through that food, bag it into 5-10 pound bags. They'll have to wear hair nets, beard guard, gloves, and they will. So that's a perishable thing that they could do, bagging that. The third thing is assemble. At the Smyrna location, they do a lot of boxing of backpacks, building those items, and they do that in Nashville. Here we don't have that as much, but we have we've received about 3 truckloads of very nutritious, high dollar snacks like Kind bars and different flavored dried garbanzo beans or Hint water, H-I-N-T, mm-hmm. Hint water.
My mom drinks it.
Yeah. Okay, it's super expensive, supposed to be very nutritious, but we had all that donated in. And those are not things that our agencies
ask for.
Right. They're not familiar with that. What is that? So we are, Lee Brooks, our warehouse manager, thought, let's make a healthy snack box. So we had volunteers lined up for several shifts and made healthy snack boxes. And then we put that out there and ask agencies, what do you want? How many you want? So we could build those things. So there's a multitude of things that we can do.
It's a good representation because I think a lot of people who may be looking for a chance to volunteer, they don't know exactly what they're going to get into, but to have an idea of the different, there's multiple things. And it doesn't seem like a very labor-intensive process versus going to a Humane Society and volunteering or going to, you know, some other outlets to volunteer for.
Yeah. And I will say this, Jennifer is great. All of our volunteer engagement coordinators at all of our 3 sites are awesome. But if you feel like you're too old, you're not. We have Miss Mary comes. She's 80 on Thursdays, and she comes in and sorts food. And if you feel like you can't stand, we'll give you a chair. You could be a box maker. If you can't be in the cooler in the jacket because it's too cold, we'll have you outside and you make the boxes.
Yeah.
We've actually recently this year partnered with the work-based learning program at our local high school, And on Tuesdays, for about an hour and a half, their class comes over. And they have different students. One's in a wheelchair, and she can sweep the floor. Hmm. And we have some of the folks there that are learning how to use the pallet jack. They're learning skills. They're learning math, weighing things, distinguishing different food items and categories. It's just been, that's been a great opportunity that we've been able to offer.
How would a school go about setting that up if they, like another school wanted to do that, so to say?
Another school wanted to do that, they could, again, call, email, contact us, and Jennifer Barker would be taking care of that stuff.
And you said they come in the afternoons? So.
They come every Tuesday from 11:55 to 1:30, and the bus brings them.
Is there a group size, like,
group size? We will take up to 30.
Okay.
This is just our first year of operation here, and we offered a missional night for churches. Once a quarter on a Wednesday night, we had asked different folks, hey, we'd love to have you come in and worship here with your hands and feet,
mm-hmm.
and do missional work. And one night, because I'm like the backup. If Jennifer needs somebody else, then I'm in there. And then she has some other key volunteers she brings in. We ran a perishable sorting. We ran a dry sorting. And we ran the cold room. All at once. We had 60 folks here.
Wow.
And it was on a Wednesday night, two different churches. It was amazing. It was really awesome.
Earlier you were talking about how y'all created that new box. Is there other avenues that y'all are trying to create kind of like that? Like if there was another box that you wanted to create but you don't get donations for, or something kind of along the lines? Or is there donations that you need in particular that you see like a continued shortage of a certain type of item?
We always need donations. Always. The items that are most needed are always peanut butter, cereal, even snack items, individual serving items. Those are all some great things. We need those. And we have food drives all the time. If anybody wanted to have a food drive with us, we have really nice, they're right behind you there, white boxes that have the things most needed. We can deliver those. Help you with posters, set it up, pick it up, and help you with that.
Earlier when we were going through the tour, you were talking about how y'all have y'all's own brand, so to say, of the canned goods. If you'd like to explain on here what that goes for and like how
Yes. So we have a social enterprise called Project Preserve, and basically it is years ago we worked with a canning company to start our own brand. And that food is created to help not only our partner agencies, but it goes to other food banks across the country. They can actually order that, and the pennies that we get extra off of that from a food bank in New York ordering that, that food goes to feed folks in New York, but that pennies that they get on top of that we receive extra comes back to feed folks right here in Tennessee. So, but it's Project Preserve. That money keeps our lights on. That keeps us going. I didn't show you in the tour, but just to throw out, we have a food scientist on staff in Nashville. I encourage anyone to go to Nashville and see that site. It's almost 100,000 square feet. A great operation. They have a cook chill program with a kitchen that's unbelievable. They have women from the local prison come and do a work study and learn to cook food and process it for our cook chill program. And part of that came our spaghetti sauce. It's shelf stable in a bag. It's right up there on that shelf. Sorry, I know we're talking online. But that is from tomatoes that we are rescuing from a company in Nashville. They turn away, toss about 10,000 pounds of tomatoes a week.
Wow.
That are grade A tomatoes. They're for restaurants for their buffets. And so if it's not the right size, not the right color, still grade A, might have a little blemish, they toss them. right now we're able to take 5,000 pounds of that and with just a few extra ingredients and make a spaghetti sauce that's shelf stable. We were able to get a grant and get a used robot to help put the little pouches in. But it's a great program that we have. And we send that out and other agencies or food banks can get that item.
That's wow. Neat.
Yeah. And it's cool how you showed us a canned item that was a vegetarian
lasagna
option. Yes. Yeah, vegetarian lasagna. And it's cool how y'all are open to different dietary needs.
Yes.
And different dietary
restrictions
and their preferences. And so it could you I don't know
yes.
if you could.
We actually have about 3 hospital food pantries. We have different students from different universities and interns that come in all the time in our Nashville facility. And I'm not as familiar with that program, but some of their projects have been trying to find the best dietary choices. We have a pamphlet that we send to our agency so that if someone came in and they were suffering from a renal disease or a kidney disease or heart disease, this is the type of food that you could get, and this is the best food to put in their food box.
Oh, so wow, that's smart.
Yeah,
we have those things too.
I'm coming from a dietary allergy. I'm allergic to milk and dairy. So
okay,
if it's to put myself in that position, and if I were in need, to knowing that there is something out there that I'm not just happen to, you know, they right. say picky. You get what you can.
Picky eaters don't get to choose in that kind of situation.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah. And in our world, that's called client's choice.
Right.
That's where, like, a mobile pantry is typically set up. And that, again, that's that one-day distribution. And many of our partner agencies do the same thing. We've had people come in line and like, you know what? Applesauce isn't for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or I'm allergic to peanut butter. Okay, don't take that, you know. Yeah. And that helps somebody else.
Yeah. That helps their morale too, I think.
That's right. It does.
It's not a position that you would want to see yourself in or to see anyone else in. And that's why I feel like what y'all are doing here is amazing.
Thank you.
And I was talking to it, and you said before that you have a lot of struggles with people saying, you know, they're just lazy or, you know, so how do you want to...
Sure.
Better word that?
Sure.
How you said it earlier?
Yes. I have found one of the struggles with working in this mission field is that, number one, I thought everybody thought like I did.
Mm.
I'll be honest. Yeah. I thought everybody thought like I did. Everybody wants to feed hungry people. And I have hit walls and had to remind myself that everyone's an individual. Everyone thinks differently. But I do have folks that will say, oh, they just need a job. Well, you know, I can tell you, I've met people. Like I shared on the tour, Miss Brenda from Lexington worked her entire life. They didn't have children. Her husband developed cancer. She lost him. She lost her savings. She lost her retirement. And now here she is by herself, and she lives on Social Security. She has to make choices on bills or eating.
Mm-hmm.
She did work. And then I also have to, and I have to be reminded too. That's why I like to go to mobile pantries or go see the food distribution, because we have families that are working. They are the working poor and still are struggling.
Yep.
And we offer that emergency food through our partner agencies.
When I was growing up, there was a time where my dad, he's an addict. And my parents split when I was little, but my dad relapsed real bad and pretty much lost everything. And my mom was in the middle of nursing school. And it was just me and her, and we weren't getting child support at that point, stuff like that. And she also made just enough money that we didn't get help from the school.
Yes.
And I remember a time when there was just a little bit of milk in the fridge and a little bitty glad bowl of spaghetti, you know. And, like, if we would have known about that, that would have been a world of change.
Yes.
But, I mean, even – but, I mean, this was – 12, 13 years ago, but I mean, we just didn't know
right.
that there was food banks that could help us in those situations. And that's something that, like we want to bring awareness to these causes through that situation, because I mean there's experiences we've had in life that we want, you know, to help people learn how to get through them easier.
Well, I thank you for sharing that, Colin, because I know that it's hard, but that is the world we live in. Mm-hmm. And we can't forget, my coworker Vivian reminds me of this all the time, we can't forget to look in the back seat of those cars of those people that are coming to get food and look for the little shoes. Mm-hmm. Because that means there's kids in there. Right. And they have no choice on the situation they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing, and that's the whole reason I work for this organization, is I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. All I care, all I care about at night is that somebody went to bed with food in their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't care about anything else that they did. But I just know that when I lay my head at night, I did what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Especially when there's so much, so to say, waste from our country and yes. food and stuff like that. And to know what y'all do here and how y'all redistribute that, that way people yes. get fed, that's so important and mm-hmm. critical in today's society. And I hate that there's a stigma to it, that people think that people are lazy or they don't want to work and they're just coming to get this food. But irregardless, people need fed.
People need fed.
And with that much waste, there's no reason for there to be a single person starving in the country. Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
I totally agree. We have a distribution problem.
Right.
That's all it is. And that's why we have built this facility here, to be closer to the need. Try and bring more food in, to get more food out, so that people are fed. Yeah. That's it.
You're talking about how the building's designed for expansion. And, I mean, what's some of the next real key things that y'all need to expand? Because like you were saying, in a sense, y'all are running out of room already, and it's so new. But, I mean, not that that's a bad thing. I mean, it's a good problem to have, because you do have the donations, even though you still need more. But what would be the next steps for y'all to expand? Do you need another driver next, or do you need more square footage, or what's the...
Well, let me share just a little bit about how we got here, and mm-hmm. then let me answer okay. that one, if you don't mind. We have been working... Second Harvest has been in around for 40 years, 41 years, since 1978. And they knew there was a need more in this West Tennessee area, and so they looked for several years for a building... to better serve this area. In the Benton County Commission and former mayor, they donated this land that we sit on, 23 acres, the most precious piece of property they have. They donated it to us. And then we've had a lengthy capital campaign. When they said we were going to have a capital campaign, I thought, oh, that's, you know, a year. No. It takes several years to raise mm-hmm. what you need. And then we did take out a USDA rural development loan. So appreciative of them. They've been so great to us. To build this facility, which was a $5.7 million investment into this area. And we have been open 1 year next week.
Oh, wow.
So we're still very new.
Yeah.
So we have our leadership have been so wonderful about thinking for the future. That's why we're built the spot we're built. That's why things, when I showed you around, it is for the future. Number one, some of our goals is we need more agencies to work with. So if you have a food pantry, and I mean, even if it's the closet at the church,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have to be a whole room. It doesn't have to be a building. If you're committed to feeding hungry people, we want to talk to you. We've got to have more partner agencies. So that's one thing we need. We need to work with more grocery stores, more retailers, most definitely more farmers. We have a farm to families program. We didn't even talk about that today. We have a farm to families program. We'd like to expand that out here. We've had some farmers be gracious to send truckloads of corn to us or different donations this summer, but work with them. So we need more food. More food drives, and we have to finish our capital campaign. We still have to, I can't expand anything until I finish this and get everything paid for and everything good.
Mm-hmm.
But we sit on 23 acres, so what could we do? Right. Could we have a community garden?
That'd
Maybe.
Be pretty neat.
Could we have a farm to family program here? Maybe. Need more trucks? Probably so. But I've got to have more agencies and more places to go with that truck
for,
and more food to pick
reason
up.
For it.
To have right. a reason for it. That's right.
Okay. One thing I like, and I would kind of like to see more, and it's just in society in general, is for kids to see actually where their food comes from. And I've seen a lot of more of community gardens popping up. And, you know, they talk about it's like the farm, you know, it just comes alive. But some people don't really understand. Unless you're exposed to it, you do not know where your food comes from. You don't know, like, is a tomato, like, what part of the vine a tomato comes from, or, you know, a potato being a root. Some kids don't know that, and even through learning through schools, you don't know that until you get a hands-on. I'm a visual learner. I need a hands-on, and I need to be involved. And so
yes.
That would be really cool to see something like that get started through this.
It would. Yeah. Yes, it would. And that's talked about, but again, yeah. We can't do anything till
Right.
That makes sense. I mean, yes. if somebody wanted to volunteer, wanted to donate monetarily, what would they do? You know, if they wanted to help you reach that goal faster.
If they wanted to help us reach our goal, let me just say this. $1 equals 4 meals with us. 96 cents out of your dollar that you donate, your return on investment, I mean, for a dollar that you donate to us, 96 cents goes to our feeding program. That's a very good return on investment for somebody. You can, again, call. You can stop by. We can, you know, talk about capital campaign things. We have naming opportunities still available. Or maybe you're like, I live in Gibson County, and we know that they need a school food pantry, and I want to help do that. Hey, we're on that too. So let's talk about that. Let's see what we can do. So funds, again, is always needed because that keeps everything rolling.
What do y'all do as far as active fundraising?
Active fundraising. Well, when I started 9 years ago, I was an agency relations manager. And I worked just with the agencies, bringing more churches on, sending out more mobile pantries, school pantries, did the monitoring because there's a lot of that you have to do for food safety. Mm-hmm. And then in the summer of 2016, I have changed roles, and it has been one of the hardest change, and I struggle with it daily. It is the hardest job is to ask people for money. And so that's the role that I'm in now. So our active fundraising is we typically have 2 to 3 signature events out of Nashville. Of course, all of those funds do go here, do go to Smyrna, go to Nashville. We have Stars for Second Harvest. It's in June. If you're ever there, I would highly go. Keith Urban headlined last year, and I mean, tickets are so affordable. My family usually goes. It's like $35 or $55.
Oh, wow.
We've seen Dierks Bentley. We've seen Blake Shelton twice. But it's a great event. They also have Generous Helpings. But those are signature events that we have. Out here, it's really grassroots. We have some volunteers that know how to speak about Second Harvest. Either myself or one of them would be happy to come to a club, Lions Club, Civic Club, Rotary Club. You need a guest speaker? We'll show up, we'll talk, and we're going to ask for 3 things while we're there: your time, your talents, and your treasures. Other fundraising things we do have direct mail stream where we send out mail asking, you know, for funds. We do have folks that just sign up online and donate monthly. Again, no gift is too small, no gift is too large. We have a lady right here in our county that sends a $2 check every month. That's 8 meals.
Yep.
8 meals that weren't there before.
Right.
We also have corporate giving. I do a lot of corporate giving. I do a lot of individual ask, and that's really where I'm going. And I visit with you. I bring you here. We talk about How do you want to change the world? Is your mission in life to change the world by feeding hungry people? If it is, then we're kindred spirits. Mm-hmm. Let's work together to do that.
Right.
Some companies or people that I meet with, nope, that's not it. Maybe it's a building a house. Worthy cause. Great. You know, you don't match with us. That's fine. No, that's a worthy cause. There's tons of worthy causes out there. But that's what we look for. We have a small base of donors right now. We've got to increase that base, which means I'm calling a lot of companies. And all I'm asking is, would you just let me come visit with you for 30 minutes? I want to hear what your mission is in life, and I'm going to share what ours is, and do they match up?
What would be, like, obviously there's benefits to donating.
Yes.
So what would be some of the benefits, whether it's some tax write-off, so to say, or, I mean, just any aspect other than they're doing the right thing by giving? But, I mean, like, some people might be curious, you know, what would they get out of it, you know?
In yes. I have some donors that they don't think children should go to bed hungry. And they don't know how to do that. They don't have the time to set up a 501c3. They don't know how to do any of that. Okay. So I worked with them this past year. We set up a school food pantry. And I send them notes every month. Hey, this is how many families we fed from that. This is how many families you fed from that.
Mm-hmm.
I might take them there to see their food distribution. We keep them up to date on what's going on. I mean, so it's not like a one and done. Because we don't want it that way.
Right.
I want you to know what you're doing out here.
I feel like that's a better way to do it, too, is you know exactly where your stuff's going.
You know where your stuff's going. I give you a tour any day of the week. Or we have a special Get Your Hands Dirty. We've never had that in this facility before. And I'm so excited. It's in December. It's just for donors. Some of these donors give very small money because that's all they can give. Some of them may give higher. But we've already, it's an exclusive event just for them to come in. I'm going to have a little, I don't know, Subway sandwiches or something from local. Have a little tea and bottled water. And then we're going to go out and we're going to sort food. You know, and it's an event just for them.
Let them actually help get involved.
Yes, yes. Wow. Just, you know, to kick off the holiday season. Yeah. But we don't want a one and done.
Right.
You know, and I want you to know that where your money's going, what your return is, you know, and we will send them the little Table Topics newsletter that has stories in it. So, a matter of fact, the lady that's featured in the back of there this month, she comes and volunteers here once or twice a week.
Wow.
And she was delighted to be able to share her story of why she's needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And she shows up and she volunteers. And I was like, are you sure? She's like, no, I can do this. I can do this. She has a medical issue, so she can't work full time.
Yeah.
And but she can come over and do this for us.
Wow.
What? This is kind of outside the box thinking, but I mean, have y'all ever thought about maybe working with maybe some sort of like retirement facility? You know, if they're able to come out and do stuff if they wanted to, just to keep them stimulated, so to say.
We'd love to do that. We would love to have them. Any senior citizen group. We've had the retired teachers have a group that meet monthly locally, and they've come over and they provided the meal, gave them a tour, showed them what to do, you know, talked about us. They had a little luncheon, had their meeting here, and then several of them have come back to volunteer.
Wow.
But yes, we'd love to have folks like that just to come volunteer.
What would be the hours of operation for, like, one you were talking about earlier about the little shopping facility
yes.
that you have, and then also the hours of operation for volunteers to come.
So we are, this building, the one in Nashville and in Smyrna, we're open. Our office hours are 8 to 4:30. Someone is usually here. Now, having said that, if you have driven up here before and it looks dark on the inside, we've tried to use our donor money wisely, and we have all these energy efficient lights. So if there's no motion in that lobby after 2 minutes, it will go dark. But if you walk up to the door, the lights will come on. So some people are like, is anybody there? But yes, someone is here 8 to 4:30. Again, one of us can take your calls, or you could swing by. And we'll try and help you. We've got the different range of volunteer times and opportunities. And our agencies, we have an online system where they can order their items online. If they want to come here to pick up and do open shopping in our market, that's usually from 9 to 12 in the morning.
You seem to have it very well organized, and you seem to have it all, you know, very user-friendly as far as with these organizations. I don't see any reason why these organizations wouldn't want to work with you.
Well, thank you. That's kind of you to say. And that really goes back to our leadership and doing this for 41 years.
Yeah.
We've got some people that are much smarter than me that know how all this stuff works.
I kind of wanted to touch more on your involvement in starting this facility. You said that, were you one of the ones who are involved from the beginning with this? Was starting this facility here?
So I've been with them 9 years. The first 4 years, worked remotely from home, which was new for me because all of my other coworkers are 2 hours away, and had to learn real fast. They were so patient. Nashville, that crew was so patient with me, and I traveled 3 to 4 days a week out in these 14 counties talking to agencies. And from that came they knew from the day they were looking to hire someone, they wanted to have a Western branch out here. Where was that going to be? So about 2013, the spring of 2013, summer of 2013, we had looked. I have been to more empty buildings in these counties, and we were really looking along I-40 because the way it runs in our area. And we are servicing people all the way up from Henry, Stewart, Weakley County all the way down to Hardin County, so we needed someplace in the middle as far over as Gibson, far over the other way as Humphreys. And so we were really targeting about 3 counties near I-40. And worked with the local chambers, real estate folks. We made some contacts with people. And at the same time that was going on, Dollar General came in and said, we'd like to do a study for you. Because if you'll notice, they're popping up these Dollar General stores all over the place.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. And you're like, why would they do it there? Well, it's because they are so smart. They volunteered to look at our area that we cover and find the best location. The same time, I mean, things, God just puts it together, because the same time that report came out that Benton County is where it should be, was the same time our mayor, our former mayor, Barry Barnett, and the Benton County Commission were talking, and they voted to give us the land here. I mean, just right on top of each other, the same month.
Wow.
And from there, we hired Vivian Bowen, my great, I can't say enough about her. All of our employees are great, but she was there at the very beginning also. So there were 2 of us, and we had an office in the local chamber. We paid a minimal rent there for a few more years. And, you know, you've got the land, and the land sat here for a couple of years while you're fundraising, and, you know, and then people are worried, are you coming, are you not coming? Yeah, we're coming. We're really coming, but it takes time. Mm-hmm. And then we broke ground in December of 2017, and we opened in November of 2018. And here we are.
That's fantastic. It segues into 2 questions. What you just hinted around segued into 2 questions, and one would be, how quintessential was it to build a team, you know, that helps you support it, because one person can't do it by themselves? And at the same time, you know, was what we're talking about, where's one of the points where you almost felt like giving up? And I imagine when people are sitting there asking you those questions, it's like, it's kind of heartbreaking, because you see like the goal and the vision, but people just see land. They don't see that the building, yes, you know, you're getting plans for the building, you're getting close to the monetary mark, you know, stuff like that.
Yes. So we had our big kickoff event in the end of September of 2013. You're starting fundraising, aggressive fundraising, trying to open doors. Folks don't know about Second Harvest. More of them do now, but we still have so much more awareness to build. And it was rough because it was myself out here, and then we called on some folks. Mr. Ray Smith, who our facility is named after, he answered the phone call in June of 2012. All I wanted when I called him, never met the man. We both live and reside in the same county for years. Never met him. Heard great things about him. He answered the phone, and I said, we're looking for a place. We're looking for a building. Can you give me some advice of where to go, what to do? And I'll never forget it. He said, be in my office Monday at 8 o'clock. And that was a Saturday. He answered the phone on a Saturday. And I was there that Monday, and we built a great relationship. He opened many doors, made many contacts for us. We built a team of he was the honorary co-chair with Miss Janet Ayers. So they were our honorary co-chairs. And then we had our working co-chairs, which was Kathy Hooten and Kathy Conrad. And then from there, we built a network of other folks, of just volunteers that will help us get the word out. And that team is how we started. Wow. And as far as struggles, yes, it is the pressure. My problem, it's just my problem. I have a problem with opening up and letting someone help me. I say this all the time. You're in my office right now, and you see all the baskets. I love baskets. I love baskets because I can put a lot of things in them to carry. But what I've learned on this journey is that I need to dump my basket.
Yep.
And let other people
help you carry those.
Help carry the load. Mm-hmm. Help carry the load. And in the fall of 2015, that was 2 years into it, it was bad. I was physically drained, mentally drained. I just thought, I didn't know. I didn't know what would happen. We were 2 years into it. It was hard. It was much harder than I ever thought. Physically, mentally, I just given up. And given up in a way you don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. I just was broken. And Kathy Hooten, our co-chair, she said, have you been to the Emmaus Walk? And I said, no, I'd always heard about it, but I'd never in the whole stream of life done that. I don't know if you all know about the Emmaus Walk, but I went. I signed up for 4 days, spent that 4 days, basically at 72 hours with the Lord, and you're stripping it all away. And I threw that personal desire of holding it on, threw it away so that I could let others in. And that was a game changer for me to continue on. Hmm. And here we are. And all these friends we have.
Yeah. We've struggled with that, with starting this. You know, we wanted to be kind of selfish and we wanted to be controlling of it. But the more we get into it and the deeper we dig into it, there's so much behind the scene work with a lot of organizations that two men cannot do it all.
Especially absolutely. When you're full-time running a construction business and we're the two employees of
absolutely.
The construction business.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so we wanted to seek out to these organizations and see, like, you know, this is a concept that is multiple people know about it, but there are still people out there who struggle with wanting to do it all, control freaks. And,
yes.
You know, whether they're just stubborn or selfish or just, you know, they just want to have it all. But yes. Once you realize that, you know, having a friend out there or having just someone that you can rely on, share your experiences with, it makes it a whole lot easier.
It does. It helps spread the word and do the mission. It makes it so much lighter.
Yeah. And your calling in it could be different from someone else's. Like,
yes.
Your usefulness in it is way different than the warehouse manager's usefulness in
right.
it. And so it's once you find what you're comfortable with, you know, and how those can fit together.
Finding what your weaknesses is mm-hmm. are, and then seek for other people with strengths where your weaknesses are, because then that's when an organization can really flourish.
Mm-hmm. You're not wasting time, you know.
Y'all are so smart.
Yeah. We try.
We do a lot of researching and learning, and because we want, like, this is very early stages, but we know the possibility of what impact it can have. And we want to do it to our fullest ability because that's what we feel called to do. And that's just, it's a day-by-day process with everything in life.
But, it is. I mean,
it's just, you know, we try to put our best foot forward. And even though we're early and growing in this, I know we see the potential of what it someday will be. So that's one of the things to keep driving for, kind of like y'all had with this building. Like, you knew before y'all had it, you knew that that's where it was going. But it was that day-by-day process until you got here. And now it's, what do you do now once?
Yeah, what do you do now?
Yeah.
That's the next journey.
Yeah.
One of the questions that we had in the outline that we sent you is, what would you tell yourself if you could travel back in time? One piece of advice in this process of helping, you know, building this facility and helping grow Second Harvest.
I would suggest, and I wish I'd done it, and I didn't, keep a journal. Keep a journal. I have lots of memory logs of those miraculous moments that we've had. And I just say, working with this organization, it is full of miracles that you have no idea. But keep a journal. That is the number one thing. Number two, let people in. I don't like to share. Let people in. That would be it. For me, I'm not a hugger. That is not what I like to do. I don't like to hug. My church knows I don't like to hug. And, of course, on Sunday morning, they want everybody to hug, and it's painful. In this process, I hug my partner agencies. I hug my donors that come in the door. I want to hug them because we believe in the same mission.
It's the camaraderie.
Yes, yes. So hug and keep a journal.
That's a good piece of advice. We've even talked about
This past week, I was like, we need to really start a journal and then keep up with all of this.
Yes, you
that
do.
That way
yes,
we can go back to it.
Picture log, too, would be great.
Yeah, we've been taking pictures of some things along the way. Like, we were writing out a list of, like, everything we're planning to do, and we got snap pictures of it. And
it's hard to keep that discipline, though. When you've got so much going on, that's the last thing that's on your mind. But
yes,
trying to keep that awareness, too. It'll give you something to look back on and say, man, when I was there, I did not see. And like, you imagine it being like this, but if you go back in time, how many square feet did you say this building was?
25,800.
Yeah. And so whenever you fill out the application, you never realized that you would be the one helping.
Never. Yeah. And to see the journey of it, the size change, small, big, and the plans change, and here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's funny because, like, you know, since God gives you that idea, but He doesn't give you the full scale of the idea. So at that point, you know, it's like you have this vision that you get of what it's going to be.
Yes.
But then He has His vision of what it really is going to be, and then He tends to just blow us away with His grace and mercy,
with His capabilities.
Yes.
Far exceed what we have ever imagined. Is there anything else that you would like to go into more detail on? We will, on our website and on all of our social medias, we will link your website.
Great.
And we will, if the volunteer opportunities and all that, the dates and times and all that,
great,
is for open volunteering, we will link your website and the phone number, I guess, too.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
If they needed to call.
Great.
And then we do, it's very early stages, but on our website, we also are planning to go back and do kind of like a blog, so to say, of what we got out of the episode.
Great.
So there'll be that as a twofold kind of thing, and then this podcast will be uploaded to pretty much all major streaming services. So.
Okay, awesome.
And you said your doors are open for tours.
That's right. Doors are open for tours. Notice that's what I wanted y'all to do before. Mm-hmm.
And
I am
so appreciated that you opened up, you know, gave us that opportunity, because.
Thank you.
I didn't know what a food bank was.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen food pantries, but I haven't seen a food bank. Yeah. And literally, it's what you say it is, a food bank. You're a bank of food.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, distribute it out.
34 million pounds of food we distributed last year in our 46 counties.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
And it's not just canned food either.
It's not just canned food.
And, you know, non-perishables.
9 million pounds of perishable food.
That was one of Miss Trish's things of her wanting us to come out here because she was so fascinated about the banana boxes.
Yes.
And, you know, what the real purpose of those.
That's right. Yeah. You saw the banana boxes, yes.
And pretty much to close this, though, our key value is kindness. So, you know, how has kindness shaped your story?
Kindness, just answering the phone. We live in a world where we get all those robocalls and cold call stuff. Well, part of the thing that I have to do is I have to cold call some folks. I have to call some businesses or people. Just if you could just wait a few minutes and be kind to listen to, I'm not a recording, you know, mm-hmm. just kindness has been that. Kindness has been, we've had some, all of our partner agencies are phenomenal, but we've had some events over the years where in Henry County and in Henderson County, we needed to get more food there. These were two separate years. And the kindness of both places, the UT Extension office opening their fairgrounds up to us, they didn't know me from anybody.
Wow.
Opening the fairgrounds up, letting us bring a truckload of food in. We had no volunteers. This was the early years. We had some great partner agencies, but they were already strapped with what they were doing. And so it was myself and some folks from Nashville. We put flyers out everywhere. And in Henderson County that summer, we had the Lexington High School cheerleaders. We had the Boy Scouts. We had just individuals show up at the fairground to help us distribute food. And the lines of people there. But the kindness of just being patient, just showing up, just the smile. And we did the same thing in Henry County. People showed up to volunteer. I had no idea who they were. Put a name tag on them so I could call them by name. But they showed up and volunteered. The kindness of all of our partner agencies being flexible. They're struggling with us. This past year, we've changed how we've fed folks. We've changed our distribution and just being kind enough to listen and say, okay, we're going to be open to trying something new because this is new for them too.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind things, the smiles, the hugs. One of my best friends in the last year before we opened, she would send little flyers, little pictures like that one up there that says courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. She would send them in the mail randomly. And I thought that is the kindest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind, you know, there are people here with us.
Yeah. It's a beautiful story.
Well, I'm so glad that we got the opportunity to come out here.
I'm glad y'all came. I'm so excited.
Yeah. is there anything else that you would like to tell the listeners?
Check on your neighbors. Check on your friends. Check on the lady at church that's coming to church with no one else with her, or the man. Make sure they have food. Check the back seats of the little kids. Look for the shoes. Do they need help? And just be positive. If you know someone in need, let us know. If you want to help change the world by feeding others, let us know. If you're mission-driven to feed and change the world with food, let us know. We want to do it with you.
Wow. That's awesome. And that's Second Harvest Food Bank. A little pre.
Thanks for listening to the K1's Terrible Hearts podcast.
I'm going to leave that in there now. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you would like to know more information or get any contact information about Second Harvest Food Bank or Ms. Donna Vick, please reach out to our Facebook page, K1 Media, Kindness First, or our website, k1media.org. If you would like to support us, we have some merch on WilcoApparelBrands.com. If you would like, go check it out. Order from us.
There we go.